I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we would play in the backyard, and we had cars, you know, little cars, toy cars, and we'd make hills and stuff and just have a ball in the dirt. I remember when we moved to Denmark, and we had these friends who owned a pig farm, a hog farm there in Denmark, and then they had barley on it and some other stuff, and we would go over there and I remember this one time we came to the back door of the farmhouse, and my mom looked at us and goes, "You're not coming in here." And I knew what she was thinking. She was thinking, "I need to get the hose on you. You're just filthy." But maybe when you see this dirt here and you see it up here, maybe you're not thinking about playing in it as a kid. Maybe you're thinking about that garden that you haven't started yet, that you really need to get on because, you know, spring is here and we better get on it. Maybe not up in Hayden Lake yet. I don't know. Maybe not up there. But down here, it's coming on fast and furious. Dirt is messy, isn't it? It's kind of an interesting thing. And yet, it's something that is a part of life. It's from the dirt that we plant seeds and see crops come. And so I want us to talk a little bit about dirt this morning. I'd like us to hear from a story in John chapter 9, and I want to read it for us, and then we'll talk some more about this dirt. But listen to God's word. It's John chapter 9, and I'm just going to read the first 12 verses. As he went along, that's Jesus, it's the Feast of the Tabernacle. There's all this hubbub going on in the city of Jerusalem. He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." The word means sent. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors, those who had formerly seen him begging, asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go wash at Siloam. And so I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know." Can we pray? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look to the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, would you help us as we think and reflect together? Would you help us to hear what you have to say to us this morning from your Word? In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I find it kind of curious that here Jesus is, and he sees this man who's born blind, and his reaction is to get down on the ground and to begin playing with the dirt. I don't know about you, but I find that kind of curious. I wonder what he thought as he begins to put the dirt through his hands, to prepare it so that he can make it into mud. I wonder if he remembered when he had taken way back at the beginning of time the dust and formed it into humankind. I wonder if he was thinking about that act of creation in those moments. If he was remembering that moment when man had been born and he had taken that dust and had breathed life into it. I wonder what he was thinking about. I mean, there has to be another way to bring healing to someone, right? To help someone who's blind to see. I mean, do you really have to begin playing with the dirt? Do you really have to make mud pies? I mean, surely there's more to this. Like I said, I remember as a kid playing in the backyard, and we'd make roads on the dirt and bring our cars over the hills and down into ditches. I think perhaps the most interesting thing, though, is that Jesus doesn't just play with the dirt, does he? It says he spits on the ground. I don't know about you, but if I had not heard that before, I would find that kind of awkward. At least in my understanding of who Jesus is. I mean, this is the Son of God, right? He's the one who, in Colossians, we're told, was the creator of all things in heaven and on earth. And here he is spitting on the ground. Doesn't seem very dignified. I mean, can you see Jesus going, I mean, that just doesn't look like the Jesus that we think of. But there he is. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not, so you don't have to have a, I know that could get my gag reflex going or something. I'm not going to do that. But you know what I am going to do? I'm going to pour some water into this dirt. I'm going to make some mud. I think about that. Think about what that did. Again, I find myself wondering, why did Jesus do this? Why did he choose to... I mean, this is gross. I mean, can you see my hands? And as I thought about that, as I began reflecting on this mud that Jesus was making out of his spit, I began thinking about my propensity to not want to get dirty. I really don't like to get mud on my hands. I'd much prefer to keep them clean. To not have to, I mean, this is, you know, I'm wanting right now to stick my hand in that bowl and clean this off because it's not fun. I mean, I can't even turn the, well, I guess I could turn the pages of my Bible, but I'd end up with a mess, wouldn't I? I think about my propensity not to want to get dirty. I think about my propensity not to want to get close. About my propensity to not want to get involved. To keep people at a distance. We were this last week in Southern California, and one of the places that we went to was San Bernardino. I'm making some mud pies here. I'm not a great... Well, this will work. They look good, don't they? Anyway, I was in San Bernardino at the Cornerstone Church in Nazarene, and this church finds itself right smack dab in the middle of this community that has been overtaken by gangs and drugs. I mean, you can't go 50 yards without seeing graffiti somewhere. You can't go very far without realizing that you're in a place. I remember when I lived in Kansas City, there was one part of town that they said, if you get a flat tire in this part of town, just keep driving. That's kind of what it felt like. And we pull up into this parking lot and parked our car. As we got out the car, this is where we were going to share about going to Ireland that evening. And there's this fence that's all around the church. And we're there quite a bit early, and it's kind of cold, and we don't know where we're going. So I said, I'll go and find out where we're supposed to go. And so I walk up to the fence, and there's a guy on the other side. And I say, I'm Steve. I'm here to meet with Robin, your pastor. And I was wondering if he's here. Or, well, yeah, hold on a second. And he proceeds to take a padlock off the off the gate and opens it up and lets me in. And I'm going, man, this is a little different. A little different than my home church, you know? Robin, the pastor, he lives right next door to the church in the parsonage. He doesn't leave every evening and go home to suburbia. He's right there in the middle of it. And as I was thinking about this passage, and I was thinking about my own struggle sometimes to get involved, my own struggle to become a part of people's lives, I guess I was convicted. I saw this community that was seeking to reach out and touch people who had struggles and things going on in their lives that if you got involved in them, then your life would become messy too. And that's the nature of people. We're messy. We have struggles. We have things that we're not good at, or things that we need to get control over, maybe, or give control up to God or something. And yet there Jesus was, spitting in the dirt, making mud so that he could touch a man. Like I said, he doesn't stand far away. He gets involved in this man's life. He enters this man's life to touch him. And I wonder again about us. Are we willing to get dirty? Are we willing for our schedules to be messed up? Are we willing for our plans to unravel? In a little while, we're going to meet our team that's going to Honduras. And I think about where they're going. And, you know, my guess is when you guys go there, you guys who are on this team, there are going to be things that you're going to be asked to do that you've never done before. And there are going to be people that you call to reach and to touch that you've never touched before. Todd, can you come up here for a sec? Todd's our team leader. He's helping us, and he's taking this team down there. And I think about what you're being called to do. There's a sense in which you are being called to make mud pies. You're being called to go and get dirty, to go and maybe mess up your life. I mean, you know what could happen? God could call you to do something else out of this. God could call you to touch a life in a way that you've never done before. And the incredible thing that I don't know, I marvel at, is that you guys are willing to go. Praise the Lord. Thanks, man. Come on. Sorry about that.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. You can go sit down now. I just wanted to share this mud with somebody else. It's disgusting. But you know, it's what we're called to do. We're not called to be isolated from the community that which we're a part. We're not called to be isolated from each other. We're called to enter into each other's lives. And sometimes that can get messy. Sometimes that can take over our plans. Sometimes that can cost us what we don't have to give, at least we don't think we do. He calls us to get our hands dirty, to get involved. There's a parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 25. Maybe some of you will remember it when I mention it. Jesus is talking about the sheep and the goats. You remember the story? And there's this great divide. The goats are put on one side and the sheep on the other side. And he welcomes the sheep to and saying, you know, come and enjoy your master's happiness. But the thing that's interesting to me, he doesn't say, I want to see, do you have a clean heart? This is what he says. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. In a sense, what he was doing is he was going, can I see your hands? Are they dirty? Have you allowed your life to be messed up by the stuff around? Have you allowed your life to intersect so much with people's lives that it's kind of messed up your schedule sometimes? I mean, we're called to come. We're called to get our hands dirty. And it's not fun. It doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good at all. You want to touch my hands? No. Yeah, I see. We don't want to, do we? We want to keep them clean. We don't want to get them all dirty because, well, frankly, it's not very much fun. But the interesting thing is that when Jesus took that mud, and it says that he smeared it on that man's eyes, remember? That God, Jesus, once again, is doing something creative, isn't he? Back there in the Garden of Eden, when he created us from the dust, boy, that was creation. And here, once again, he's making these, smearing mud on this man's eyes, and he's sent, and in obedience he goes, and he washes his eyes, and he sees. He receives his sight. Maybe we should look at dirt a little differently. Maybe we should understand that we are called to be a people who are willing to get dirty. We're willing to take off our gloves and get involved. I think about this afternoon and the setting up for this spring distribution. It's going to mess up the game I want to watch or the nap I want to take or, you know, all the things that all the excuses that we have. And, well, you know, I'd love to help, but I don't want to mess up maybe it's time. Maybe it's time that we become a people who get our hands dirty and share Christ. You know, the reality is that it's only when we become Christ, when we walk as he walked, that we can really make an impact in the world that we're called to reach. So, are you willing to get dirty?
I'm sitting here listening to Pastor Steve and getting a little flashback from when I was a student in youth ministry. And we did something that was amazing. We had this thing that we called the mud bowl. And what it was is we basically dug this huge pit, filled it full of water, and put a volleyball net in it. And we just had fun. But it was interesting watching because you would have some people who would be coming up and they'd be wanting to play, but they didn't want to get dirty. Like they'd be standing in mud, like standing in it, and then they would be afraid that some of the mud would get on their shirt or on their shorts, or it would get a little bit high on their leg. It was just so odd to watch and actually kind of fun to watch. Because people like me, that whole thing to where in your mind it's like, I don't really want to get dirty, I shouldn't get dirty, that really didn't exist. And it may be hard to believe, but you picture me with long hair. And we just embraced the mud. We embraced the dirt. We were diving for the ball. I mean, I stood up and I had mud locks. It was just everywhere. But I think about how, as followers of Christ, as ones who follow after Christ, He's leading us into those dirty places. He's leading us into those pits of mud. And are we going alongside concerned that we're going to get a little on our shorts? That we're going to get dirty? I tell you, that had to be miserable for those people. Miserable. Just, I don't want to get dirt on me, and yet I'm standing in a mud puddle. Okay, if you are obsessive compulsive about being clean, that is not the position you want to be in. But for those who embraced it, this is just how it is. This is how it's going to be. This is how it's supposed to be right now. It was a completely different experience. And as followers of Christ, are we willing to follow Him into the pits? Are we willing to get dirty? Are we willing to associate and interact with those who could mess up our order of things? Is God calling you too? One of the things that we want to do here is to embrace who we are called to be. Not just people who come and participate in worship and watch somebody stand up here and get dirty, but to live those things out. Not just people, be people who do, but be people who are and who live. What are you being called to this morning?